Praise the Lord. We get into God's word quickly so we can conclude. Evangelist is past three. Amen. And we start off in John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. I pray for you today that your eyes see. I pray that your heart hears God clearly via his word. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say, yeah. Because God's word is how God speaks to us. Right? And you are to act on the word of God. One of Deacon Solik's favorite scripture, if it's not, it becomes, is Hebrews 4 verse 2. He said the word that was spoken to us was spoken to them. But the word did not profit them, having not been mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, the point we are trying to emphasize is there is one part to the word, and it is hearing the word. I hope you're writing down. There is one part to the word. It's hearing the word. There is another part to the word. What is that part? Like you saw in verse 2, mixing the word with faith. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. It will mean that when the word is going on, you pay attention. Because you are to pick God's word and mix it with faith. So the first phase is to hear God's word. Because he said, they did not mix it. They that heard it. So the first phase is to hear it. Hallelujah. Then the next phase is to respond to that which you have heard. If not, God's word will come to you. That is why when you hear God's word from that service, have action plans. What will I do? What is to do based on what is said? How do I respond to what is being said? Because God is speaking every day. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Look at John. Let's go. In fact, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I need to show you the power in God's word. Meaning a person can be in church for 10 years. And their life doesn't change. Is it possible? Yes, because the word of God only affects the man that mixes the word. Hallelujah. So you can hear God's word. That's the thing. God's word changes lives. God does not change. God is the same. Right. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 13. It says, for this cause also we thank God. This thing I am talking to you about is what made Paul thank God for the people of Thessalonica. It is something to thank God about. When the word of God, he said, I thank God for the Thessalonicans. Look at, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye, are you there? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Are we there? When you did what? Receive the word which ye heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Look at after word of God. I'm sure you see a comma. Then it says what? Which effectually worketh, meaning it is operative in them that believe. So the word of God, the power in God's word, we see it in the man that listens to it, embraces it, and responds to it. Praise God. Church, praise God. No, church, praise God. You know, because sometimes when I teach, I try to get practical. Look at Psalms 5. Psalms 5. before I get into the what I want to talk about today, Psalms 5, I want to read verse 11. It says, but let those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Are you there? Let those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Look at that. So that is the word they heard. Those who put their trust in God, should we find them weeping, mourning? What should we find them doing? Rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing? They put their trust in God. So when I find a person having heard this scripture rejoicing, he will have mixed the word with faith. Amen. He says, let them ever shout for joy. Are you seeing it? Why are they shouting for joy? Because thou defendest them. Who is God to you? Your defender. What do? You first hear it. When you hear that God is your defender, your protector, then you act like so. What would we say? That one is a man of faith. He heard God's word and is now acting like someone that God defends. Hallelujah. He says, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Look at verse 12. For thou, Lord, are you there? Will bless the righteous. With favor will he compass him as with a... Oh, come on, talk to me. Thou will do what? Bless the righteous. With favor will he do what? Do you know what a compass is? A surrounding. So the Bible is telling you, are you righteous? Are you righteous? We're going to see today that you're righteous anyway. He says, thou will bless the righteous. How will he bless the righteous? He blesses the righteous with favor. How does the favor operate? The believer is going, the favor is a surrounding shield. So there is no position the believer goes. He will jam it. Because the favor is a protection. The favor is a preserver. Because the verse before says, thou defended us. So what do? I go about saying it. I go about talking like that, acting like that. I don't go about talking the economy. I don't go about talking the situation around. I go about talking God's word. I go about acting like that. When I'm doing that, I am mixing the word with faith. But before I can mix it with faith, I must have heard it. Are you getting what? I said all of this to explain to you how to mix God's word with faith. Praise the Lord. When everyone is G3, you say, calm down. God compasses us here. Amen. Amen. When you're G3, how are we going to pay for this? Calm down. God compasses us here. I always tell people, it's either God is God to you or you're playing, but don't be in the middle. It's either God is real to you. And I'm saying that to get into God's word, that you would respond to. So I go into my teaching. We're talking about the evangelist. This is part 3. You have heard through this week. You have heard through the month about the love of God for you. John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world. How do I respond? God loves me. How do I act? God loves me. What is the proof of the love of God for you? I hope you are not looking at your circumstances. The proof of God's love for you is not your circumstance. The proof of God's love for you is that he died for you. Yeah. You are to take knowledge of that love of God to be bold in the day you are in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He says, for God so loved the world. How do we know he loved the world? That he gave his son. So the giving of his son is the one and final proof of God's love for you. Believers don't say, oh God, do you love me? If you love me, set your... No. Believers say, Father, we know that you love us. How do I know that you love me? Not something you will do now or tomorrow. You sent your son to die for me. That's how the believer starts. In fact, it is that conviction of the love of God that made God rescue you from sin that actually makes you an evangelist. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. I am saying it again. It is that knowledge. knowing that you deserved death, you were on your way to destruction. And then the Lord God, in his love, rescued you. That's what makes you go out and tell other people. Amen. That's what makes you use your life to tell the gospel. That's why believers are different. And I always tell people, please, I just prayed and I hope you're not maybe playing church or playing all of these things in the middle. It's either you are in, and if you're in, be in proper. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Meaning if you're improper, it means you take God's word at it. Amen. Church, amen. Let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone declare, I have everlasting life. Come on, I have everlasting life. So that is the message. The message is life is available. Life is available. How did life become available? A lover who loves humanity came to die for man to have life. Why am I telling it with my life? Because it is the most important news. Amen. Amen. Let me say something. There is no greater news. That's why we call this one the good news. That's, did you hear what Deacon Solik was saying, where people were giving their lives for the gospel? It's because they knew there was no greater news. There is nothing actually greater. What news can you tell a man that is actually going to be destroyed? Honestly, the only news the man that is going to be destroyed needs to hear is that there's a way out. Amen. So, and when you are coming with that news, that's why you are not shy. Don't, I'm shy for the gospel. You have life. The person you are preaching to does not have life. How can you be the shy one? Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is why you must know what you carry. If you don't know what you carry, you will just always act anyhow. You are the one with life. Hallelujah. That's why you must know the message. Who are Christians? People that have received life. We are not just anybody out there. No, we are not. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And you must know it. Everything about us is different. Our worship, different. How we pray, different. Everything about us is different because we are men that have received life. Hallelujah. And if a man does not have life, eternal darkness. That's why we preach. That's why we use our lives for it. This is the heart of God. We are talking around the heart of God here. For God so loved the world. Christianity, please write this down if that's the only thing you want to write down. Christianity comes with its own purpose. Meaning that there is no Christian that will say he does not have a purpose. Because the moment you get born again, you receive purpose. Very important. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. Christianity, I'll say it again, it comes with purpose. Second Corinthians 5. We look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ, are you there? 14. For the love of Christ, what does he do? Constrains us. Because we judge that if one man died for all. So did one man die? And all, he says, all are dead. Are you there? Look at verse 15. And then he that died for all, that they which live. Are you the one he's talking about now? Yes. The one that lives. Look at your purpose in life. You live, should live, okay. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This gives believers purpose. This is, listen, you were in the world, subject to destruction, having your own ambition. If they asked you what to do with your life, some of us had it planned out, some of us didn't have it planned out. But that's how people are. Then you get born again. When you get born again, you get born into a kingdom. Hallelujah. A kingdom. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a territory with a king. It's from the word king, domain. Meaning in this domain that you have now entered, there is a way that we are out to live. Hallelujah. Because when we don't understand this, we just think Christianity is a religion. We just do no. It's a kingdom. Just like United Kingdom. In this domain of the United Kingdom, there is a way they live. So it's not about what you like or what you don't like. It's about what is operational in the domain you find yourself. Can I get a believing amen? So in some countries, they drive on the left. That's their domain. In other countries, they drive on the right. That's their domain. You can't say, it doesn't matter. It matters. You cannot say, I will just, where they are driving on the left, you can't say, I want to drive on the right. Not only do you put yourself in harm's way, you put other people in harm's way. That's what happens actually. When you are in the kingdom of Christ and not living out the purpose of Christ, it's like driving on the other side of traffic. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. So it says, they which live, are you there? They which live should not henceforth, 15, 2 Corinthians 5, 15, they should not live for themselves, but live for him that died and rose again. Then he now tells you, how are they to live? He's talking to who? Verse 17 tells you, the new creation. Whosoever is in Christ is a new. It's a new. So the man that is to live no longer for himself is the new creation. So the new creation was created. One of the things about the new creation is that he does not live for himself. Amen. So what is one of the things that Christianity first takes from you? Selfishness. Hallelujah. It will train you to put God first, people first. That's what Christianity does to you. What does Christianity do to you when you understand it well? Christianity takes away from you self. It comes with our kingdom. Who started this selfless life? Jesus. Did you see what he did there? For God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. Was he supposed? Did he sin? No. But what did he do? He came on behalf of the one that sinned, to the end that the one that sinned will have life. Now this, listen, depends, and that's why I prayed again for you, that your hearts will be opened to this message. It's actually simple, but that's what your life is about. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, look at verse 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. What has God done? He has reconciled us to himself. He has done it already in the body of Christ. Right? Do you know what I mean of reconciliation? Reconciliation must mean there's a problem. You know, you cannot call a reconciliation meeting between myself and Sister Victoria, because at the moment we are not fighting. Are we fighting? We are not fighting. Praise God. So if you say you want to call a reconciliation meeting, we should be shocked. So anytime you say, I want to call a reconciliation meeting, the two people are aware and say, okay, yeah, it's needed. It's high time. Amen. Praise God. So he says that there's a reconciliation. Why? Man had gone away from God. God created man for a purpose. From the beginning, God didn't just come and say, Adam sinned. Okay, let's look what we are going to do. No. The Bible will tell you that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible will tell you from the beginning, God promised life. Titus 1 verse 2. God actually promised life from the beginning. Adam only started by rejecting. And other people continued rejecting that life. What did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to make. So that, I don't want you to understand it. What did Adam do to this world? He corrupted it with that life. That life is called sin and death. That is the reason you get older. That is the reason why, you know, all these tsunamis, earthquakes. Hello? You think, do you think that in the beginning, God just said, let me trouble them sometimes. Let's give them it quick. Is that what you think? Or you know what? We'll just cause that. All the things that you know that people call natural disasters. It was not in the beginning. I'm trying to tell you that God created the world, and the world has been attacked by sin. So the world is decaying. It actually will get worse. Amen. You know, in 1942, in October, in the UK, you will not only be wearing jackets, they will cover all your face, everything. It's so cold. It's October now. We are not all jacketed. Things are happening to the world. People call it global change. They are saying it's because of fuel. It's because of this. It's because of that. Can I tell you what is the reason behind it? It is because the world, even the Bible says it, the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the earth you are in is saying, hey, when will Jesus come? That's what Romans 8 says. So the world as it is, that's why if you are big on the world, even the world knows there is feeling. Praise God. You are so big on the world. The world knows it's failing. One day it's here. The other day the Bible says it's rolled up. That is why God knows the world is gone. What did God do? God had to come in and initiate a kingdom. That's what happened. So when you are born again, God came to superimpose a kingdom in the world of a kingdom where people are subject to death. So now you are not yet, your body has not yet dropped, but you are in the kingdom of God. You have the life of God. A time will come, you will drop your body, but you will still be alive. Hallelujah. See, this is the reason why am I explaining this? You must know the gospel. Amen. Amen. He says, I'm in verse 18. And these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us. Say, when I am born again, I have purpose in Christ already established. Did you see that he has given to us a ministry of reconciliation? So your purpose in life, I don't know what I'm to do. Your purpose in life is to be about the gospel. That's what this our kingdom is for. You can choose to say, nah, I'm gonna. But the Bible already tells you. Amen. It says, right? It says, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is why to be a minister of the gospel, a pastor and all of us, is a great responsibility. Because God ordains you to tell people what they are to do with their lives. So if you open up your mouth and go and tell people, and lead them in a very perverse way, you will be judged. Because that will be hundreds and thousands of people who should be about the business of the kingdom doing any other thing. That's why it's a sacred calling. Is in this day and age, people are fighting for it. No. Because you will be judged weightily. That's why the message that you preach is important. It says he has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Let me say this. Christianity and church is not to excite you. It's school. Amen? Thank God for boring preachers. Thank God for preachers that are not boring. I don't know which one I am. But I'm just telling you that the point is the church is not to excite you. Is to help you know your purpose so you can run with it. Because whether we like it or not, there's an end to this thing. And you know, and that's why, while I'm very spiritual and charismatic, for those that know me, I also embrace discipline and consistency. Listen carefully, because where I'm going to is not long. I was going to say rise on your feet and close now. Do you know why? Have you noticed that for the 100 years that Pentecostalism has been around, we have all the excitement. Yeah? We are very excited spiritually. But have you noticed that the Catholics, they don't even have the charismatic experiences that we have. But they have something. They have consistency, right? And they have discipline. If a Catholic, since the day he became a Catholic, he never misses 6 a.m. Mass. If we call the 6 a.m. Mass for Pentecostals, there'll be excuse with all the tongues speaking. Praise God. Church, praise God. So it tells us something. We have to wake up. Have you seen, you know, it is in Pentecostalism today that you'll be telling believers what to do with their money. You'll be talking about giving as if it's more than what it is. It is in Pentecostalism today that you'll be telling people that they are to serve. Because there's a part of Pentecostalism that makes it look like the gospel is about you. So if it's not convenient, you don't see it as important. And so we wonder why the gospel has not spread. Praise God. Praise God. But you are the evangelist. You are the one that would... How did the Catholics go around the world? Dedicated men. Not particularly excited men. Dedicated, committed men who understood the message, at least before the message got into trouble. You know, what we call the Roman Catholic Church was the outflow of Pentecost, actually. Outflow of the early church. Peter was the first pastor, right? But they are still here today. That is why I always tell Christian leaders, while you embrace charismatism, also embrace and train people in discipline and consistency. If not, whatever it is that we do will fizzle out. And be an example of the same. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. Amen. That's what I'm saying. See it as important. You have received a ministry of reconciliation. Right? Look at verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. We are tellers of good news. Thank you, Lord. I think there's an angel here. All right. Okay. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us. Are you seeing it there? The word of reconciliation. Who did he commit it to? Are you part of us? Are you part of us? Okay, look at verse 20. Now are we what? Come on, now are we what? Ambassadors of Christ. See, I'm an ambassador of Christ. Come on, I'm an ambassador of Christ. Look at it there. It says it there. As though God did besiege you. He said, it is through Simi. God is begging the world. Besiege is the word to beg. The ambassador is there telling the world, come now. How is he saying come now? By the message. Be ye reconciled unto God. They will ask you why. Verse 21 tells you how you should respond. He became sin. He became what? Sin. Church, who did God become? He became sin. Who knew no sin? That what should happen? That you should be the what? Righteousness of God. What does that in Christ Jesus? What does that mean? If you are the righteousness of God, it means that at one time before Jesus, you were the wrongness. Wrong. So you were on the wrong side. By what Jesus has done, because he stopped sin that made you on the wrong side, you are now on the right side. Go tell them. It's about just picking a side. There is this side you are on. It's a side unto darkness. There is another side. How many people are to tell? Everybody. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, that you will commit your hearts to this message. That nothing will take the passion of this message away from you. Nothing. Nothing. Not this world. You know the problem? I always tell people, if the passion of the gospel doesn't get to you before the good things of life gets to you, you may be irredeemable. I'm trying to say, I'm not saying it's God that did not make you wealthy, but I'm thankful that some people are not wealthy yet until we teach them. Because imagine a burning man for Jesus, consecrated to living for Christ. Money cannot change him. He would rather use money to serve God. Position cannot change him. He would rather use position to serve God. Sacrifice will be his lifestyle. Why? Because of a message that men must hear. Can we get a believing amen? a message that men must hear. He became sin. That somebody heard that message and told his parents, bye-bye, in this United Kingdom, and flew all the way to Nigeria, to Mexico, to, and they never saw their parents again. Why? For this message's sake. My pastor was here last week with us and told us how that he was in a meeting where the report of how Christians spend their earning was given. He said it broke him. He said, of the out of 100% of what Christians earn, about 93 or so percent is used on themselves. Ha! And 1 point something percent is used on the gospel. And we are saying, Jesus, let your kingdom come. I mean, he's saying, do you know what 1% is? Even the Jews were doing 10. And they had a heart that was problematic. And we really want the gospel to trend. You see that we are really joking. We really don't mean it. We really don't. If we did, there will be a difference in our approach. That's why the evangelist's message is to recalibrate your heart. Have you been caught up in the things of this world? When last did you wake up and what was on your mind was the gospel, the kingdom of Christ, how it will expand, and it got you to pray? When last? Why? Why? It goes back. He has committed unto us. And when there is a committing, it means he has made us stewards. And you know the funny thing about Christ, right? Christ trusts you. Paul will say, he has counted me faithful and called me into ministry. So God counts you faithful before you practice faithfulness. Did you get what I just said? God actually says, I call you faithful, then gives you an assignment. Then he's watching. God is living by faith that you will respond. Amen. The Bible says he has committed unto us. So you will take it seriously. What is my part in this? Where is my place in this? The reason that we gather is that it will become clearer and clearer what your place is. Hallelujah. And so that you will take that place. That's why we gather. He has committed unto you. You have to personalize it. Do you remember where we started off from? Hebrews 4 verse 2. Are you there? Hebrews what? 4 verse 2. The same word that was preached unto them was preached unto us. But the word did not profit them, having not been mixed with faith. Meaning somebody might hear the word of God and say, oh my God, I know what I'm to do with my life. I know what to do with my life. I know what to do. I am a preacher of the gospel. It will mean that, what does it mean? Practical steps. What does it mean that you are now a preacher of the gospel? It means you will go. Write it down. You will go where people are. You will go where people are with the gospel. That's why we go to the streets. That's why we go on social media. It cannot. Now think about it. If Paul was in your day, would you know that he's a Christian on social media? You will know. You know it is, and that's why we say, thank God God made us meet some people before they get wealthy. Who are you? You are not anything. You are still afraid for people to know at work that you're a Christian. You're still, no. No. And it's not the other side where you always shout, you are becoming a nuisance. It's just the fact that you are not ashamed. How can you be ashamed, change of life? Someone gave you life. You are the excited brother. He gave me life. Not, you know what, let's continue. You will sack you. Don't talk like that. You're not ashamed of the gospel. So you take it everywhere. You say, no. My social media, I don't really want people to know. I'm not out there. No, you don't see this thing. You don't see it. You don't. If you did, there'll be a different approach. Any means, by what? I have some radical friends. When I was in northern, eastern Nigeria, we have some guys, he would tell me, you know what? Radical things he used to do. He would say he would go to the mosque and go and be doing with the Muslims so that he can just be close to one brother. He said one brother at a time. They would just, you don't let them see his mouth. I said, what you did that? He says, how would they hear? We used to call him Brother Missions. He will now drag one of them out. Before you know it, he has turned the person to be born again. Because the person was comfortable in the... That was his style and his strategy. But my point is, see what he thought of. To be able to get to one person. Amen. You know, in the day and age that you are in now, people don't even greet people. They're on their phone. Reach them there. Get to them there. Don't be ashamed. Don't be political. If people are not clear that you're a Christian now and you're in another kingdom, something may be up. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quick, so last week we concluded by saying, number one, you have a telling ministry. We said, did we say that you have a telling ministry? Go about. Number two, we said you have a praying ministry. If this message will make sense to another, we will pray and we showed ourselves how to pray. Number three, today we are going to just conclude quickly with the character of the evangelist. What will be the character of the evangelist? It will be the character of Jesus Christ. Let's quickly look at it and we close in this service. The character of the evangelist. But before I even go into the character of the evangelist, please write it down. The evangelist's secret is communion with the Holy Spirit. The real, see, communion with the Holy Spirit is the evangelist's secret. Communion, we mean fellowship. He will talk to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will tell you what to say. He will put people on your mind. Let's look at the character of the evangelist. Therefore, that will be the character of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The character of the evangelist. Quickly, let's go. We're in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. This is the mind. Although I'm saying character of the evangelist, is the mind of the believer. If this was not your mind, you are to hear this mind and drop any other mind to have this mind. Amen. Because the Bible tells you that you're the one that puts on and puts off. It's your decision. It says put off the old man, put on the new man, which is renewed by the Spirit in your mind. So it is your decision. Look at it again. It says in verse 5, let this mind, let it, meaning allow this thing flourish through you. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Look at the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Look at it there. Jesus was equal with God, but he thought himself of no reputation and took upon himself, what is the mind of the evangelist? He took upon himself the form of a servant. That's the mind. Lord, I'm here to serve. Lord, let me tell you, see, all of us will not be leading pastors. All of us will not be the point man. All of us have a ministry of reconciliation. All of us are servants. I always tell people, I wonder why people jostle for positions. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Because the point is, God before you came had a plan. Lord, where is my place? Not the one that we're doing politics. Where is my place? Why? Who is a servant? They tell him what to do. He has no agenda of his own. When you see people with a lot of agenda, are not living the life of a servant. Look at the servant. He says he took upon himself, meaning what they told Jesus to do was an insult. Become a man. Carry sin. But because he was a servant, it was what he would do. Because this is the point. When we all fulfill our servant ministry, we all play our parts in the kingdom of God to get God's plan to be made manifest. The way God plans it. Look at it. Look at it. He says, he took the form of a servant and was made in the light. It was an insult for God to become a man. I hope these words resonate with you. It was an insult for God to be, God became a human being. Are you thinking about it? God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, entered someone's womb. God, the creator of heaven and earth, became a baby that cried, will sleep, confined to a mortal body. God But he took the form of a servant for you. That means pride in our kingdom is demonic. It's not anywhere in our kingdom. Pride is not in our kingdom. It's not in the king's domain. At the border, they should take it from you. God took it from you when you were entering this new kingdom. Pride is not from our kingdom. It's not there. Meekness is. Praise God. He took the form of a servant in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, what is the next attitude we see? He humbled himself. I'm talking about two or three things today. Number one, the life of service. Number two, the life of humility. He humbled himself. Lord, what will I always tell people that, you know, people don't understand what happened to Philip. Because what happened to Philip happened to me. Philip went to a city. The city is called Samaria. He turned the whole city upside down that everybody was saved. And then God said to him, arise and go towards the desert to go and meet one man. I always tell people the life of a servant. Where I was before, although I used to drag it, I can't carry my bag myself. I have protocol front, protocol back. Arise and go to Lord for what? With all of this whole glory. With all this, oh yes, sir. People don't greet me standing up straight. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you my reality. I don't go into the shops in Glasgow by myself because the crowd will want to buy suit for me. I got tired. I said, Miss B, I'm never going to the shops again. That was my glory. Then God said, arise and go to London. Yeah? Go to London to go and meet who? But there was an Ethiopian eunuch that needed to hear the gospel from Philip. That when he hears the gospel from Philip, he will take it to Ethiopia. And then from there, many will hear the gospel. Are you hearing? He says he humbled himself. Oh, humility means God. The Bible will tell you in Numbers 12, verse 3, Moses was the most humble man. Although he wrote it, but Moses was the most humble man. What did it mean? He lived by God's word. Amen. And I'm not surprised. If you see, have you seen who he was leading? He left them to go and pray for a few days. Before he would come back, golden calf has appeared. Terrible kind of people. Amen. Amen. These were the same people that did not make that guy make it into the Canaan land. They didn't make him make it. They angered the guy. Until the guy would get angry. He only wanted to swear. Your father is... He spoke. God told him that he should hit a place. He hit it the first time. God says, speak the second time. Out of anger, he said, you rebel. He hit the rock. It's not it, human beings. But Moses was a humble man. Humble man. God, what you have me do? I don't have agendas. I love 10-year plans, but I always tell when I make 10-year plans, I might not go by it. Praise God. Make it is good. So that when you're talking to someone like Diggins or Dick, you look like you have sense. I have a 10-year plan. I project. This man knows where he's going. Bro, we don't know what we are doing tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. That's why it's a communion. Let me conclude. He said, Nedakash to Frabaka Tekia. This is the way to walk. Walk this way. And this is success and victory in me. Look at it. He says, he humbled himself and became obedient. Three virtues for success for the evangelist. Number one, he tells you there, he says service. Number two, he tells you there, humility. Number three, he tells you there, obedience. He obeyed even unto death. Meaning that Christianity is not a kingdom where everything they tell you is good, is convenient for you. Yeah. It is. God said that. I hope you know that it was not a fairy tale. They were not nailing just because they were like, stop it. You know, that's not what was happening. They were piercing his body. He had to go through that. He wasn't saying, you're tickling me. Stop it with my side. No, it was painful. Painful. But he had to go through it. How do you know that it was a big deal? The man of God will be praying. He will say, Jesus, the man was praying. He said, Father, Father, let this cup, let it pass over me. That's why I always tell people, serious Christians, they follow the will of God.
a consecrated life is a life that says, God, however you like. And you will see, I just don't like sharing stories, so it doesn't look like a story time. You will see God show up for you like you are the only one in the nation. Because there's a plan. There's a plan bigger than you. If like I said, I had to be in the UK. God got me there. I didn't want to come, but I was willing to come because he got me there. All this one that you're thinking you're the one driving your life. No. There is a plan before you. Trust the plan. If God says, my pastor was telling me the other day that they were praying in a meeting and tongues and interpretation, they just say, thus said the Lord, you are going to Australia. The man carried his bag, set it up, operated. Australia, gone. He's not the one that is, will they give me this? The doors will open. Why? Because there is a plan. And the person that said you should go to Australia is not stupid. What we try to do is we have our own plan. We now say, God bless it. We now start struggling. We now start saying we're having faith issues. You are not having faith issues. It is disobedience. Know the plan and relax in it. Praise God. Church, praise God. You know, I always tell our social media, give me what you want. As long as my father can tell me it's in the plan, the money will show up. I've tried this one for 17 years. It's not I'm bragging, I'm not bragging. If it is what we are to do, just tell me what we need to do. We pray. God says I'm to do it. I'm not going to say, God do it. God bring it. 10 years, 25 now. God, come on, 15. No, it's your plan. If you fail, I'll say, everybody, God failed though. It's not me. Who am I? My name is Dio B. I'm not God. Don't get too overwhelmed thinking that it's your life. There's a plan. What is the secret for your life? Number one, service. Number two, humility. Number three, obedience. And you're on your way. That's the way for a successful Christian life. Any generation, anywhere you find yourself, it doesn't matter how hard or tough it is. With those three virtues, understanding that you are God's ambassador on ground, whatever needs to turn will turn. Because you are God's own. You are not alone. And the Lord God compasses you with favor as with a shield. It's the Lord God that defends you. So what is there to fear? Rise upon your feet. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, just give God praise for counting you faithful, calling you into the ministry of reconciliation. Come on, give him all the praise. Give him the glory. Bless his name. Bless his name. I want you to have a time with the Lord. Come on, have a time with the Lord. Thank him. Thank him. He has given you life. He has given you life. He has given you life. You can now say, oh Lord, now I've got it. I understand what to do now. Oh, I was worried before I came into this service. I was concerned before now. So this is it. Oh Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. I bless your name. I would rise in my generation and I'll be counted as a minister. I would rise in my generation, I'll be counted as a disciple. I will rise in my generation and I will be part of a local church. I will rise in my generation. I'll be part of spreading the word. I'll be part. I want you to pray, you know, as we conclude today. This is your consecration meeting where you are reaffirming. I've told you the three things that will help. If it's in the plan and you walk in the plan, he will make it come to pass. If it's in the plan and you walk to the plan, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Stand in the plan. Do the plan. Walk in the plan. In the plan. The plan is blessed. Hey, God is all you need to have your needs met. Because the essence of resurrection is the change of position. So we carry this message that men will be lighted. You do your part. You find yourself faithful there. The secret is clear. Service. Humility. Obedience. You know, I didn't read the other part. The other part says, and God highly exalted him and gave him a name above all names. That's what many people quote. They don't quote the first part. Service, humility, obedience. This is the key. This is the way. Let's lift up our hands today as we close in this service. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that this message will be a reminder, a rekindling. We pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened and you will grab this message in its entirety. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will see it like never before. Your part, you will see it. That you walk away from stubbornness, you walk away from hard-heartedness, you walk away from your way and realize that you were called to do his will. Father, we give you praise. We give you the glory and all the attendant blessings of obedience, service, and humility. They follow you in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, come on, the saints say, come on, go around, make someone feel comfortable. Amen. Say, it's so good to see you in church. God bless you. As we close, bless them, pray with them, let them feel at home. Hallelujah.